Hey everybody, welcome back to the podcast. It's been a long time since we've been here together. But it's good to be back. We got a lot to talk about. For those that are tuning in via podcast or any audio source, you can be sure that in front of me is a cup of coffee. For those that are here watching video, you can see it live. So thank you very much for drinking with me. For those that are and commute or whatever you're doing, I hope that you got a cup of coffee. We got a lot to talk about, and hopefully we'll start talking again more often. I miss you guys. I miss doing this, and I miss being able to talk things out with you every day as the world turns. And I don't know of a better time. We're living in crazy, crazy times, and there's so many lessons that are taking place every single day that we got to talk out and talk through, and hope we get to do that together. I want to begin by trying to make sense a little bit of what we've got to do now. You know, there's a lot going on. And what you're finding, if you look closely, is that emerging from the chaos of this world are different classes of people. For some, it's bringing out their best. I mean, I've seen things I couldn't even imagine. Giving and giving and giving and giving more. I mean, it's insane. People have changed their lives around. People are passing up on financial opportunities to spend more time doing charity and volunteer work. People flying around the world. You know that right now as we speak, you can't get a ticket to Israel. It's the most expensive it's ever been, in part because everyone's trying to go there and help and do. Soldiers, beginning of their lives that are out of service, right? They're not currently drafted. They're out running back to serve. The level of unity and it's just beyond. I've never really experienced it at this level before. For others, it's despair, brokenness. For others, it's obsession. Non-stop news obsession, fear. For others, it's hate, death, destruction, hate. Nothing less than just more and more darkness. How do we end up on the side of good? How do we end up on the side of the light? How do we end up on the side of where challenge builds us? Now, let's take off the table people that are suffering in a very direct way. They have a complete pass. Let's not even think about them, right? If somebody knows someone who lost somebody, or God forbid, someone who's a hostage, like forget that. Like that's they're like in a box, in a luxury box that are now completely and utterly untouchable. I'm talking about for the rest of us. How does one become resilient? Where does it come from? How does one train themselves that when the going gets tough, they step up and they become bigger? Where does that come from? Where does that gene come from? Where does that response come from? How do you go from being scared to being mobilized? You know, I see like army bases of soldiers that are like about to go into Gaza and they're dancing and singing. And like, I'm like, do you know what's coming next? They do. They're trained for it. But there's an excitement. There is a passion. How do you get that for your life? Look at it in fear in the eyes and dance and sing. I was on the phone today with a very brave man. One of my close friends and heroes. An Israeli war hero lost a son in this current war. One of the first soldiers to go down. He lost his son. His son was defending a whole kibbutz. Held off the terrorists long enough to get back up. And he was writing how, and he was saying to me how that's what a soldier dreams about. Or not, God forbid, death. But that's what they're trained to defend and to protect and to see that as their highest calling. Where do you get this from? Where do you get this resilience from? Where do you get this mission from? In a world where it feels like everybody is focused on self, they can barely let somebody even cut on a line, let alone give their life for something. Where does this come from? So we got to talk about it. Let's begin right now for a few minutes. What you'll notice is something very interesting about life. That we all operate on two modes. The first mode is, let's say we call it the lower self. In that mode, what we're focused on is self. It's our lower self. And what we're doing is feeding it. We want to win. We want to make more money. We want to go first. I'm hungry. My people. My way. The definition, if you will, the distinction of that who lives in the lower self, you can tell because what they're first and foremost concerned of is of themselves in any way that it manifests, from the smallest to the largest. Kids all have this because kids are not fully developed yet. Kids are not, they're not processed yet. And so they're constantly living, so to speak, in that world of lower self, unless they get pulled out. But me and my sister, and you ever give you ever see two kids and you give one kid the compliment? The first question is, what about me? And you're like, what? Why can't I tell him how good he is without saying that you're not, so that I'm not good? Who said you're not good? You don't love me. Who said I don't love you? How come I don't get presents? It's his birthday. But what about me? What? Why is this all about you? So his answer is, because I'm a kid. It's about me. And if someone else is winning and I'm around it, I may get very threatened. Because I'm living in a lower self. And in my lower self, it's eat or be eaten. It's survival of the fittest. It's winning. There's no room for two. I'm living in a limited world. So if you get, it means I don't get. Now, there are a lot of adults that are still really, they're really still children. And they just speak in more sophisticated language, but what they mean is, what about me? And what about me? And they live in a world where they're greater than, they think they're greater than they are. They're more deserving than they are. But most importantly, live in a world where they measure the world based on the impact that it has on them. That way of life that we all have that child inside us, requires a lot of things to go right to be happy. Because once you allow that thinking to continue, and by the way, we all have it. If you don't think you have it worse than everybody else. Let's put it on the table. If you're like, oh, I don't have that. Not only do you have it, but you're not even aware of it, so forget it. You're the worst in the room. At least if you're aware of it, you go, okay, my bad. I got to work on it. 2%, 10%, 50%, whatever it is. But let me just end with this idea, and we can pick this up next time. The problem with that way of life is that, much like every other lower way of life, it never stays satisfied. It always goes for more. Right? Think about any material pleasure. The more you get it in condition to it, the more you need the next pleasure to satisfy yourself. Right? This way of thinking is the same way. The more you allow it to fester, the more everything has to go in your favor. The more, when you do this, when the smallest thing cuts against you, you're blown. When life is focused on self, then your day can get thrown because on the way in, there was a little traffic. Or somebody cut you off. Or someone didn't say hello in the right way that you want. It'll never dawn on you that that person had a bad day. Or woke up on the wrong side of the bed. Or got in a fight with his wife on the way over here. Or heard some bad news. But forget that. Why would that matter? It's about me. All right, we're going to talk about this. Higher self, lower self. Trying to understand the different modes that mean you live in and why some people can't break out, and how evolving is the path to true happiness and success. All right, well, welcome back. I hope you stick with me. With God's help, can we see you next time?